Welcome to Two Guys and a Question. Between them, Alan Creedy and Danny Jefferson have almost 100 years hands-on experience with funerals, funeral directors, finance, and real-life situations. Every Tuesday and Thursday, they field questions for more than 1,200 subscribers, hoping to stimulate your thinking and resolve your challenges.
Well, welcome to Two Guys and a Question. Alan, it has been a lot of fun answering some questions. It's been a lot of fun hearing some of the responses we're hearing from around the country from funeral directors.
It's exciting.
So today's question, what is the most frequent question funeral homes ask of you, Alan, in your work?
You know, Danny, that's an interesting question because it is often like a script. I can almost repeat it verbatim. It will begin with something like, Alan, I'm tired. I've just lost an employee, let's say, for example. I'm worried about burnout. What can I do? What is it time for me to get out? Is there a future for my son or daughter or whatever it might be? So the first thing I need to share with you in answer to that question is that I am concerned about the burnout issue in funeral service.
I've got several friends that I've talked to. I've had gotten some phone calls. It seems like it's prevalent throughout the industry.
Well, and the follow on to that, and this is my word. This is not the word that people use when they talk to me about that. I think there is a sense, at least at the unconscious level, that people feel trapped. And, you know, they feel like it's all on them, which it is. But I think that entrapment tends to come from a feeling of isolation, nobody to talk to and so on. It used to be, back in the day, that the casket salesman really helped solve a lot of that problem. There was somebody you could talk to. Maybe you weren't entirely wise talking to them.
Well, I will say that, too. There are several representatives. I know Carl Schottel is one that, with Dodge over the years, has been a wonderful sounding board
and confidant, and they serve that purpose. But they're a disappearing breed, and a lot of the new breed don't have the background experience or confidence to really fill that role. So let's get back to the primary question or primary issue. Really, is burnout, being tired, feeling trapped. Okay, well. The reality of that is, and it's something that you and I have talked about at length. One of the reasons that we formed this partnership is because we believe we have some solutions to it, but the solutions are not quick fixes, and so let's go into a little bit about that. One of the things that besets funeral service is this belief system that somehow or another you are morally obligated to pour yourself out 24/7, neglect your family, neglect your health, and that somehow people are going to see that and appreciate it. And frankly, it's a noble thing. I'm not suggesting that's not a noble thing. But the reality is people can't function that way.
They can't. And I will tell you that in the conversations, there's a lot of that. And unfortunately, in the past 2 years with COVID, we're hearing it more.
We're hearing it quite a bit more, but it's exacerbated by the fact that it's so difficult to find quality people. And so for almost my entire career, probably most of your career, the solution that people had in mind to this problem of overwork or over-responsibility or over-commitment was to find a quality licensed funeral director that they could, for all intents and purposes, dump it on.
Well, all of those are currently employed by other people.
They're either employed by other people or they're retiring. And I read just something just the other day that some two-thirds of licensees over 55 are expected to retire in the next 5 years.
Wow.
So that pool is getting smaller. And we'll talk in another podcast about recruiting, but the reality is we are dealing with a very shallow labor pool. I don't think anybody listening to us has any doubt about that. So how do we work it around? And the truth of the matter is, the model itself, and I'm going to talk about that in business terms, the business model itself, where people show up for work at unusual hours because they're committed and that they really can work autonomously and without any kind of training, just throw them into it. That worked when the only two decisions that customers needed to make was what funeral home do I choose and what merchandise do I buy.
I agree.
It does not work today. It isn't even close to working today. And the strain and stress will defeat the really committed practitioner. So the solution to that is to look outside the profession and realize that other professions have faced this very same daunting issue. They did it years ago.
I've got a veterinarian friend. She does podcasts around the country, and it's going on in the veterinary. What other fields?
Oh, my gosh. Lawyers, doctors, accountants.
Right.
Most every profession has this, anything that requires an advanced skill set. And I don't care what you say.
Or a license,
whatever, has faced this issue. So let's look at what people have done. Nurse practitioners are
right.
a solution. Paralegals are a solution. Veterinary assistants and
right.
Accountants have people that they don't have a CPA, but they have an advanced bookkeeping degree or an associate in accounting or whatever. People that are skilled, not licensed, but able to pick up at least part of the load. And so my query, my challenge, so to speak, with my clients is, okay, let's look at your state and let's figure out what duties, what responsibilities, what tasks actually require a license.
And that would, all you have to do is look at your state, call, and I would even encourage you to call your state licensing board just to be clear that what you want to do is going to be within the law.
Exactly. And so finding individuals who are capable and competent and committed, who just don't happen to have a license to do many of these non-licensee duties, it's not that it's easy, but it's certainly less hard, less challenging than finding that dream licensee who you can dump everything on and not worry about training and so on. So, and we're going to talk about that in our training podcast that you can subscribe to. But the reality is that if we don't address this as accountants have, as doctors have, as lawyers have, already addressed it with a paraprofessional class, and by the way, do not forget that if you move in that direction, they must be trained. You cannot bring somebody in, sit them down at a desk and say, I want you to do obituaries, for instance, and walk away. You
right.
can't do it.
No.
And it's immorally irresponsible, first of all. But so training is a big part of this, but changing the model and understanding, and one of our clients, employees shared this, and we're gonna share it a lot because I think it's a revelation. She came from a strong teaching background, and one of the things that she observed, she actually left after 6 months. One of the things that she observed is that in most jobs, there are margins, and by margins, she didn't mean the financial margins, she meant boundaries.
Right.
All right? And yet, her experience in funeral service, which is common, this is not specific to that particular funeral home, is that there are no boundaries. All right, there are no boundaries. So over the course of her 6 months, she only had 2 days off. She wasn't even a licensee, was she?
No, she wasn't.
She only had 2 days off. She missed time with her kids. And so she just said, this is not the life for me, even though she was better at some of the duties she undertook than some of the licensees. And she liked being in the funeral home. So again, where are those boundaries? This is a challenge that everyone has to make. I often, and I'm going to close with this. This is an example. I often meet with husbands and wives, and I'll learn that the husband who, well, I shouldn't make a distinction, but I will, that the husband is spending 60, 70 hours a week at work. All right. And I'll ask him, what are you doing? And then I'll learn things like he likes to attend the visitations for an hour or whatever. And I'll say, and I'm not trying to be controversial. I'll just say, why? He says, well, I think I need to be seen, which is true, which is true. But I said, are you doing that because if you don't do it, you'll feel guilty? At which point the wife usually sits forward and looks him directly in the eye. And he said, well, yeah, kind of. So part of the issue is internal here, and we need to decide whether we're gonna feel guilty all the time. And I'm just going to close with this piece of advice. When I was young and had young children, a friend of mine shared with me, he said, you know, as a parent, you always face two choices. One will result in guilt, and the other will result in resentment. Always choose guilt.
You can internalize that. If you feel trapped, if you feel burned out, tired, isolated, isolation is a big one.
Yeah.
We're going to address some of these things later on in a future podcast, but we're really trying to give you tidbits to where you can take control and create clear, defined margins.
And frankly, I think it's time to get excited about what we do, and instead of having to go to work, wanting to go to work.
Be sure and tune in.
Remember to send your questions by clicking the link at www.twoguysandaquestion.com. New questions are answered every Tuesday and Thursday at 4:22 p.m. Eastern Time.